Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are starting this week the book of Vayikra. And, you know, this is a book that not everybody likes to talk about because Bereshit and Shmot is full with stories. It's interesting. Bamidbar, Dvorim. Vayikra, sacrifices. It's a little boring, you know. What can you have like an interesting shiur talking about this sacrifice, the other sacrifice? But the truth is that there is the same that we have to talk, that we can talk about Bereshit and Shmot and Bamidbar and Dvarim. There's also a lot to talk about Vayikra. And on the beginning, the first word, already we have a question. Vayikra, the Aleph, is small. Why? Why is the Aleph small? So there are a few explanations, but all of them are connected to be humble. And we'll see in a minute. First of all, when we finish the book of Shmot, Moshe Rabbeinu is standing outside. He cannot go in. He cannot go inside because the Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit, is there, and Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go in. The interesting point is that it's not exactly so true, because in our book, on the beginning, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber elav Moel Moed, God calls him, come in, and talks with him. The question is, why didn't Sefer Shmot end it in a happy end? Why it's stopping in the middle, leaving us with Moshe Rabbeinu standing outside, and only now they tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu really got in? It's not so nice. It would be much better if Sefer Shmot would end in Moshe Rabbeinu, after we built the Mishkan, going into the Mishkan. So why did the Torah stop in this moment that Moshe Rabbeinu is standing outside, cannot go in? Because the first lesson is, it doesn't matter who you are, at the end of the day, you are a human being. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, that God talks through him, Pe el pe adaber bo. God talks through Moshe Rabbeinu. Even he, there is a moment that we understand that with all the talent and with all the abilities, he is just a human being. That's why the Torah lets us understand that even Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into the temple. But he does. But that's a different story. For us to realize that Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the day is a human being, and that's important. Why? Because if we look at the Christians, for example, they made their prophet a god. And this is in a lot of other places also. But in Judaism, there is only one God. And this one God is up in heaven, and we have a direct connection to him. We don't need nobody to help us to get to him. We can talk with him whenever we want to. And a prophet, a great prophet, the greatest, Moshe Rabbeinu even, is at the end of the day a human being and not a god. That's, by the way, also the reason we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. And there's a story about the Gemara that the Torah is telling us where he was buried, but nobody can find it. And they were on the mountain. The Gemara tells us that when they were up, they saw it down. When they went down, they saw it up. Why? We know a lot of other tzaddikim that we know exactly where they were buried. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was so great that there was a certain worry that people will make him a god. And that's why the Torah is telling us, before we go to all the sacrifices, go into the temple, do understand that there is only one God. And it doesn't matter how tzaddik you are at the end of the day a human being. Now, the small Aleph in Vayikra is first of all to tell us how humble Moshe Rabbeinu was, because God is calling him. Not a lot of people have this privilege that God is calling them personally. Only to him, Vayikra. But Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Aleph small, so it looks like Vayikar. Vayikar is Mikre. It's by accident. It's not intentionally. Like the same way with Bila. It's Vayikar. It's like not a special calling, a special meeting. It's by the way God meets Bilam. So Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't want people to think he's so great. So he did it. Vayikar. But I think that the real story here is that Vayikra, the meaning of Vayikra is God is calling us. And by the way, it's written Vayikra el Moshe. Who is calling Moshe? It's not written. Later on, it's written, Vaydaber Hashem Elav. Bucha to Adonino Eloheinu Melech HaOlam,
Sheakol Nia Vidvaro. Amen. You know, also, in addition to what Moshe is saying, you know, I just heard that the reason that he wasn't buried doesn't have a grave, in addition to what you said,
yeah, yeah,
is that his body became very spiritual. It would become like a, you know, like
Eliyahu HaNavi went up in heaven with his.
So he couldn't be buried like a normal person.
Okay. Could be the loss of Shivim Panim La Torah. Anyway, we just not long ago read Parashat Zachor. Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. What did Amalek did to us? What did he do? But what is the idea of Amalek? What is our war with Amalek? Amalek says, asher karcha baderech. Vayikar, karcha. He is like, he said, everything is nature, it's normal, it's just happening. Not God is doing things. Vayika, mikre. In other words, he is the one that always tries to tell us that what's happening around us is natural things. It's nothing to do with God. Even if you see God, he tells you, nah, it's nature. It's like I can never forget, I saw this explanation about, we are going now into Pesach, and we have Yitziat Mitzrayim, and Kriyat Yamsuf. So this is this very scientific explanation that how did the sea open, and Am Yisrael went into the sea and walked on earth, and the water was here and there, and then it covered the Egyptians. So they say it's a simple natural thing. There was, what do you say? There's tide and what's the opposite? Tide and shefel vegeut. Yes. In other words, when Am Yisrael got to the sea, there was the time that the sea goes back, and there was this niche in the sea that was a little higher from the normal, and they walked on it. And while they finished walking, the sea came back naturally and covered the Egyptian. You know, if you don't want to believe, you can always find stories. And this story, if we only think about it, it's not logical. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu came there exactly at the moment that the sea went down. And then exactly at the moment that the sea came back, the Egyptian went in. Stupid stupid even to think about this.
But the sea also split into 12.
We know what's happening. We believe in it. We've got no problem. I'm just saying that sometimes, even a miracle, that you see there is no logic in, somebody will find an explanation that this is nature. By the way, I also saw very interesting, this is unbelievable, we talked about in the past, about Moshe Rabbeinu and the snare and the burning bush. It says the burning bush was really a bush of that brings, dry, is like a drug tree. Yeah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was just being drugged. And he saw those visions by like you take heroin or any drug. He says, how did he come to this conclusion? This, and you know, all those things, you have those scientists, like this professor, whatever. He says he went once to a tribe in Africa, and they were dancing in front of the fire, and they were giving all the people there something, leaves to smell. And when they smelled those leaves, they saw visions. So that's the same way with Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you read those things and you don't believe that even somebody with a mind in his hand even wrote it. But you see, if you want to fight God, because God disturbs you in your normal life, you will always find, even if it's something that nobody can understand, but people, if you want to believe, you will believe it. And that is Amalek. Amalek tries to convince us that everything is nature by accident. Nothing is being controlled by God. And that is our big fight, because we live in a normal world and we see things happening around us. And it's very easy to be tempted to think that this is nature. But there is no, nature is God. Te'ateva in Gematria is Elohim. It's the name of God. God is nature. So, for us to understand it, God is talking to us. He's calling us. Wherever you go, Kol Hashem Bakoach, Kol Hashem Bakoach. The voice of God comes from the nature. It's not like with Moshe Rabbeinu, he talked differently, but with us he also talks. Everything that's happening around us is God talking to us. The problem is, we don't see the Aleph. So we think it's accident. Vayikar. What is Aleph? Aleph is Alufo Shel Olam, God. Alufo Shel Olam is Aleph. But we don't see him. It's a Ester Panim. God doesn't reveal himself to us. And this is our fight, to understand and realize that there is an Aleph, that God is in the picture. We don't see him. It's small. But he's there. And he controls everything.
Like Megillat Esther.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also,
and Esther also starts with Aleph.
Oh, yes.
Aleph is Alufo Shel Olam.
I also heard that when Hashem split the sea, that the two waters on the right
and the left.
If a child wanted an apple or something, and he asked the mother, it just had to reach for it, and it came out from the water. Is it from the water? Is that?
Yeah.
I heard it from a rabbi. I just never.
Teaching.
Yes. It's one of the midrashim. Yeah. It's a famous midrash. It's a famous midrash. But if we're talking about the breaking of the sea, we have to understand it's written. ובני ישראל הולכים ביבשה בתוך הים. They go on earth in the sea. והמים להם חומה מימינם ומשמאלם. Now instead of saying us that the sea is the wall, they say the water is the wall. Why is the change? Because what is water? Mayim, Torah. Water is Torah. So what is our protection from not drowning into the sea, which is nature? The Torah. והמים להם חומה מימינם ומשמאלם. So when you have the Torah, that's the walls that protect you from this ocean, from the nature, and you walk on earth. You connect to God through the Torah. That's והמים להם חומה מימינם ומשמאלם.
I love that explanation.
Yes, thank you. It's not mine. ויקרא אל משה. Yes, it's a very nice explanation. ויקרא אל משה. Now you see, we're talking about a small aleph. And we can talk about the small Aleph for another hour. To understand and realize that every change, every letter in the Torah has got something to learn. And as we said, Vayikra el Moshe, and it's not written Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. Why? Because in order to hear God, you have to be humble. You have to be an Aleph Ktana. Because somebody who thinks he knows everything, he only listens to himself. He cannot hear nobody, and especially not hearing God. To hear God, you need to be humble. And who is more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu? And this is a very interesting point. Va'ish Moshe, hu anav yoter mikol ha'adam al pnei ha'adamah. Moshe Rabbeinu, they say, this is it. That's, if we're talking about anava, if we're talking about humbleness, Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'll ask you a question. Is Moshe Rabbeinu more humble than Aaron HaKohen? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov? Why, they were not humble? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu the one to be chosen to be the most humble man in the world? What is the difference between Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Aaron, his brother? He was together with him, and we all know that he was humble. Then when there was a fight or something, he used to put himself aside. He was always looking to make peace between people. And you don't make peace with people if you look for them from up, down. Only when you talk with them in the level of their eyes. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu the one? Because Moshe Rabbeinu took Avram, they throw him to the fire. He was saved. Yitzchak fought on the whales. Yaakov, all his life was running. Aaron was a leader in Egypt when Am Yisrael was suffering. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu? Where was he? And why is he called Moshe Rabbeinu? He's got 10 names. And he's called Moshe Rabbeinu. Why Moshe? Who did it? Who took him out of the water? Batya. Batya. And she took him where? So where was Moshe Rabbeinu raised up? Now you have to understand, when we talk about the palace of Pharaoh, we're talking about absolute control, power that you cannot even imagine. At that time, in Egypt was controlling the whole world, ancient world. They were the most clever people in the world. Till now, people investigate the knowledge that the Egyptian knew. And he, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the prince of Egypt. He had everything in his hands. He could have anything. But he chose to go to the desert. That's his humbleness. Because humbleness comes from greatness. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what it is. It's not a big chokhmah to be humble if you are cleaning the street. But if you are at the top of the world and you're humble, that's humbleness. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen, because he was on the top of the world. He had everything. But he knew that whatever he's got, materialistic things and spiritual things, is where from? From God. And he says, together with Aaron, his brother, "V'nachnu ma? Who are we? We are nothing." Twice in the Parashat Aman. "V'nachnu ma? We are nothing." So if you are nothing, how should you behave?
Humble.
But if you have knowledge, if you have talent, should you show your talent or not?
No.
You should show your talent. I tell you why. Because if you don't show your talent, you don't share what you've got.
Well, you have to share with everybody.
Exactly. Then that's exactly the point. Sometimes we think that to be humble is, you know, imagine to yourself this rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, comes to give the shiur and says to Tamidim, "You know, I'm sorry, from humble reasons, I'm not going to give the shiur."
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But that's what we have to understand. Humbleness doesn't mean no greatness. On the contrary, humbleness goes together with greatness. The idea is to use whatever talent God gave you, share it with others, but realize that it's not your talent. God gave it to you. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling to himself, what I know. If God would give what he gave to me, to Yankale, Yankale would be greater than me. And that's humbleness. And this, the Torah is trying to tell us. If you want to hear God, Vayikra el Moshe, God is not there. When is God there? When you behave in humbleness. Then, Vayidaber Hashem Elav. Elav? Not Moshe, Elav. To who? To each one of us. God is talking to each one of us. When we read the Torah, this is not stories. This is a way of life. And we read Vayikra el Moshe, there is a Moshe in each one of us. And if we behave like Moshe, be humble, and use our talent, but with humbleness, then we hear God talking to us through everything happening around us. For example, I've been now in China. I've got many stories. But this is whole a lesson. Something to learn. If something happens to you, you have to learn. For example, we went in Hong Kong. This is Kuanlong and Hong Kong. Hong Kong. Hong Kong is the island, and then there is the town, which is a part of China. And in order to get from one side to the other side, we took a taxi. And you go through a tunnel underneath the water, and the tunnel, it takes an hour to get out. We wanted to get back, and I wanted to davar on the other side. No taxi wanted to take us. It was the rush hour. We offered even double the money, whatever. Didn't want to hear. And we don't know what to do. We're in the middle of Hong Kong. Don't know how to get to the other side. Suddenly I see in front of me a Hasid. In the middle of Hong Kong. In the rush hour, I see a Hasid in front of me.
A
Hasid. A Jew, a Hasid. With a beard. Dressed like a Hasid. You can call it Eliyahu HaNavi, you can call it whatever with Eliyahu HaNavi is a spiritual thing. It's not something logical or... And I asked this guy, can you tell me how to get to the other side? He says, no problem. You go straight. There is an underground. You go there. He gives me the name. Two stations. And you're there. So we go. We see the underground. Go down. You have done this underground. This is something... You go for 15 minutes to get to the station. And people from all around, there are thousands of people going here and there and there. And you know, if you do a mistake, I don't know where you go. But it says, you see, to take the red line, you look. And then, unbelievable. 5 minutes. We crossed the tunnel with the underground and we came exactly near our hotel and near the shul. If I would have known it in the morning, I wouldn't even try to take a taxi there. But you know, that's life. And the story here is to now understand, God is there, and he looks after us every minute of the day and night. You only have to ask him. Talk with him. And God will talk back to you. So here he sent me this chassid. At the right time, and I got to the time also for davening. And this is exactly what the Torah is trying to tell us by Yikra el Moshe. This small aleph, which is from one side, alufo shel olam, but it's hidden. We don't see alufo shel olam. We don't see God. But we have to see. And from other side, humbleness. If you want to listen to God, and if you want to hear God, and if you want to see God, from humbleness. Then you see also the Halef Haktana. Then you understand there is no accident. There is no nature. Everything is controlled by God. So after we know that everything is controlled by God, we want to know, what is this idea of sacrificing? Do we have sacrifices today? But yes. The Torah is forever. And if there is no sacrifice, as we read here, that must be a different sacrifice.
Yeah.
But it's very simple. What is sacrifice?
Davening.
Or giving something Tzedakah. From yourself Tzedakah. For God.
Tzedakah.
Yes. Also tzedakah. Anything you do from yourself, giving. What is a korban? The idea of korban is I sinned, for example, so I bring a sacrifice in order to make good, to change my ways. And through the sacrifice, I have to understand that instead of me being slaughtered, this is the sacrifice. But I'm sacrificing my physical part in order to elevate my spiritual part. That's a sacrifice. In other words, if I sacrifice, if I do something for others, that's a sacrifice. As we call it sacrifice. If you do something good, that you have to try hard to do it, and it costs you, what do you call it? I sacrificed myself for him. I sacrificed my time for him. I sacrificed my money for him. For her, for them, for Am Yisrael. And the best sacrifice is to give to the Klal Yisrael. Whatever it is. That's the sacrifice. So let's see what we're talking about. One of the interesting points is also connected to Pesach. There is something you're not allowed to bring with a sacrifice. You know what you're not allowed to bring with a sacrifice? Honey and Seor. Seor is the thing that the yeast that is the chometz.
Yeast.
You're not allowed to bring a sacrifice with it.
Why?
Why not honey?
That's my question, and we'll answer it in a minute. Because you would think, why not to bring honey?
Honey is good.
It's sweet. I want my sacrifice to be sweet. From the other side, salt, you have to bring with every sacrifice. There is no sacrifice without salt. What's the Torah trying to tell us? First of all, the honey we talk about is not beans honey. It's fruit honey. Okay. At what stage of the fruit you get honey?
When it's very, very...
In other words, mature. Before it gets rotten.
Yeah.
In other words, it's an end.
Yeah.
It's not a beginning. And when you bring a sacrifice, that's not an end. It's a new beginning. So you cannot bring something that symbolizes end and rotten. By the way, in Hebrew, Rikavon, which is rotten, is the same letters as Korban. If you change, Korban is the sacrifice, and Rikavon is rotten, the same letters.
Just twist.
Exactly. But when we bring a Korban, we don't want it to be Rikavon. We want it to be a new beginning. And we also don't want it, as we said, the first thing is to be humble. Now, what is yeast? Yeast raises up. In other words, you take a small thing, it's ego, it's air, it's nothing. And what happens to it after a few days? You cannot touch it. You cannot eat it. Matzah, for example,
has no yeast.
You can have for a year, you can eat matzah.
Never gets stale
because there is no yeast in it. It's the truth. It's not a fiction. It's not the ego, yes.
No, I just wanted to say about Rikavon.
Yes.
When you put a seed in the ground, first it becomes a Rikavon, and then from that it grows a new beginning. A new
start, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, Rikavon normally is an end. That's the miracle of nature. What you're talking about is a miracle. Because, you see, this is the way that God wants to tell us that everything that happens is a miracle. Because nobody would think that the seed that you put in earth and it gets rotten and from this is going to be grow a new life. It's like you will tell me that you go now to the graveyard and suddenly you see from the graves trees of people. But that's exactly what's happening with the seed. You put it in the earth, bury it, it gets rotten, and it grows.
It's going to be tichas amesim.
Exactly. That's the way you look at nature, you understand. That's our belief. We know it's going to happen. But if you tell it to somebody, wow, that's a miracle. But the seed, that's nature. Vayikra, Vayikra, the same story. Everything is from God. That's why God makes this procedure for us to learn and understand that even from rotten, you can get something growing. But when you bring a sacrifice, the symbol is not rotten. It's a new beginning. Now. You're changing yourself now. So how do you do it? Not with honey, not with yeast, but with salt. What is the power of salt?
Indestructible.
Stays forever. That's a Brit Olam. I tell God, I want a Brit Olam. I want to change my ways. I want to fix myself. I'm going to be like the salt. I'm going to preserve the good and stay forever. Where forever? The next world. Because what is the sacrifice? Going up to heaven. For eternity. Salt is, by the way, one of the most important things in nature. It's a part of water, by the way. And water is more than 60% of our body. Water. And in water, if you dehydrate water, what do you have left in the glass?
Salt.
The acid of everything. Salt.
That's why we put salt on the table. Because our table is
Like a mizbeach. Yeah,
right.
Al kol korbancha takriv melach. That's our parsha. Yes.
Would it be relevant to say that the korban brings you closer to God? And
korban makriv.
Mekarev.
Karov. Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's the idea. That's very, very good. Korban is the same letters also, shoresh of karev, karov. You understand what I'm saying? Korban lekarev. It's getting us closer to God. That's also the letters of korban. Karov. To be closer to God. So now we see a beautiful lesson. From one side, you're not allowed to bring certain things. And from the other side, you have to bring certain things. And the lesson for us is unbelievable. So we see that when we try and look through the words, it's not so boring. It's very interesting. And it's a big lesson for us. And this is Sefer Vayikra. And we already touched it. And there are a lot of other beautiful things in the book.
But if you don't bring the korban to be karov, change the letters around, brings you closer to the kever.
Yes.
So
sure. Yeah, said to the end. Rotten, rotten, yes. Very good. There is a famous story. There is a famous story. With the Chafetz Chaim. That was this guy who was going around the yeshiva and telling everybody his knowledge, sharing. Wherever there was somebody talking, he came. Oh, I know this and I do this. And you know, everybody loves those people. The show off. Everybody went away from him. Wherever he came, they saw him, they go to the other side. So one day he came to Chafetz Chaim and said, I don't understand. You know, you and me, we learned also in the Shem Yeshiva. Now, I come to people, I try to tell them Torah, they get away from me. You? Everybody's running after you. Now, Chofetz Chaim told him, you know what Chazal said? Kol arodef achrei hakavod, hakavod boreach memenu. Anybody who chases honor, honor runs away from him. And everybody who runs away from honor, honor chases him. He says, look what Chazal said. Chazal didn't say, if you're clever and you're running after the kavod runs away from you. Or if you're not clever, or if you're stupid. Everybody. In other words, you are very clever, tells to this guy. Very clever. But because you love kavod and you run after it, even though you deserve the kavod, but because you're running after it, it runs away from you. Me, I am not so clever. But I also don't like kavod. So I run away from kavod. And because of it, though I'm not so clever, the kavod runs after me. Look how clever was the Chafetz Chaim and how humble. How he explained this guy, in trying not to insult him, that maybe he's even more clever than the Chafetz Chaim. But the idea is, if you chase after kavod, the kavod runs away from you. If you run away from the kavod runs after you. That's the Chafetz Chaim. And that's humbleness. And we all know, people like humble people. We like those who don't brag the whole day. We don't like them. We like those who are humble. And I think that because we are standing in front of Pesach, I don't know if we're going to have a shiur next week or not, and so I wanted to talk a little about Pesach. So first of all, this lesson, which was talking about mainly around one letter, Aleph, humbleness, God, listening to God, hearing God, and understanding that everything is from God. This is our big fight with Amalek. He says everything is accident, and we said everything is from God. God controls everything. That's